The Youth's Instructor, October 13, 1898. Search the Scriptures. It is of the highest importance that every human being endowed with reasoning powers should understand his relation to God. In our schools, the work of redemption is not carefully studied. Many of the students have no real conception of what the plan of salvation means. God's word is pledged in our behalf. He who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities invites us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Students, you are safe only as, in perfect submission and obedience, you connect yourselves with Christ. The yoke is easy, for Christ carries the weight. As you lift the burden of the cross, it will become light, and that cross is to you a pledge of eternal life. It is the privilege of each to follow gladly after Christ, exclaiming at every step, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." But if we would travel heavenward, we must take the Word of God as our lesson book. In the words of inspiration, we must read our lessons day by day. The Apostle Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, as the representative of the human race, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." The humiliation of the man, Christ Jesus, is incomprehensible to the human mind. But his divinity and his existence before the world was formed can never be doubted by those who believe the word of God. The Apostle Paul speaks of our Mediator, the only begotten Son of God, who, in a state of glory, was in the form of God, the commander of all the heavenly hosts, and who, when he clothed his divinity with humanity, took upon him the form of a servant. Isaiah declares, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it, with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever." In consenting to become man, Christ manifested a humility that is the marvel of the heavenly intelligences. The act of consenting to be a man would be no humiliation were it not for the fact of Christ's exalted preexistence. We must open our understanding to realize that Christ laid aside his royal robe, his kingly crown, his high command, and clothed his divinity with humanity, that he might meet man where he was, and bring to the human family moral power to become the sons and daughters of God. To redeem man, Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The humanity of the Son of God is everything to us. It is the golden chain that binds our souls to Christ, and through Christ to God. This is to be our study. Christ was a real man. He gave proof of his humility in becoming a man. Yet, he was God in the flesh. When we approach this subject, we would do well to heed the words spoken by Christ to Moses at the burning bush. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We should come to this study with the humility of a learner, with a contrite heart. And the study of the incarnation of Christ is a fruitful field which will repay the searcher who digs deep for hidden truth. The Bible is our guide in the safe paths that lead to eternal life. God has inspired men to write that which will present the truth to us, which will attract, and which, if practiced, will enable the receiver to obtain moral power to rank among the most highly educated minds. The minds of all who make the Word of God their study will enlarge. Far more than any other study, this is of a nature to increase the powers of comprehension and endow every faculty with new vigor. It brings the mind in contact with broad, ennobling principles of truth. It brings us into close connection with all heaven, imparting wisdom and knowledge and understanding. In dealing with commonplace productions and feeding on the writings of uninspired men, the mind becomes dwarfed and cheapened. It is not brought into contact with deep, broad principles of eternal truth. The understanding unconsciously adapts itself to the comprehension of the things with which it is familiar. And in the consideration of these things, the understanding is weakened, its powers contracted. God designs that the Scriptures, the source of science that is above all human theory, shall be searched. He desires that man shall dig deep in the mines of truth, that he may gain the valuable treasure they contain. But too often, human theories and wisdom are put in the place of the science of the Bible. Men engage in the work of remodeling God's purposes. They try to distinguish between the books of the Bible. Through their inventions, they make the Scriptures testify to a lie. God has not made the reception of the gospel to depend upon human reasoning. The gospel is adapted for spiritual food to satisfy man's spiritual appetite. In every case, it is just what man needs. Those who have felt it necessary to have the students in our schools study many authors are themselves the most ignorant on the great themes of the Bible. The teachers themselves need to take up the book of all books and learn from the Scriptures that the gospel has power to prove its own divinity to the humble, contrite mind. The gospel is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The character of Christ on earth revealed divinity, and the gospel which he has given is to be the study of his human heritage in all their educational departments, until teachers, children, and youth shall discern in the only true and living God the object of their faith and love and adoration. The word is to be respected and obeyed. That book which contains the record of Christ's life, his work, his doctrines, his sufferings, and final triumphs, is to be the source of our strength. We are granted the privileges of school life in this world, that we may obtain a fitness for the higher life, the highest grade in the highest school, where, under God, our studies will continue through the ceaseless ages of eternity.